Jason Lee Podcast.
All right, we're back for all new episode of the Jason Lee Podcast. Woo-hoo. Listen, this is the, I don't know what we're going to call today. We're back. You know, we've been gone. We did the whole election. Have we done an update since the election?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, I won. Let me do the applause. We need to have that presidential music. You know, when Barack Obama and Michelle hit the block and then they play that dun 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 dun, but I'm not at that level yet. So we'll just settle for throw it in the bag. Well, look, at the end of the day, I won the primary. Those of you that have been following me, I ran for city council in Stockton, California, where I have moved back, where I'm from, born and raised. If you read my book, you know my whole story. If you haven't read my book, go get it on Amazon. God must have forgotten about me. Well, I went back, ran for city council, got me a home there, went and opened up the Hollywood Unlocked offices there, healthcare unlocked office, put my flag in the ground as a resident, as a concerned community citizen, community advocate, and I won the primary, 41.73%. Tonight, there's going to be another update. But, you know, the race was crowded. There were six of us in the race. And those of you that don't follow politics and don't vote, you need to get active. And those of you that did register to vote and did get active during this campaign, thank you so much. Because of you, we beat everybody. And, you know, to have a crowded race where you have an incumbent who's the vice mayor of the city go up against five other people and then me come out on top was just a testament of the hard work for me, my campaign team, all of the people supporting our volunteers and the community who's ready for change. You know, the thing that I will say is a lot of people back home have been, you know, wondering how I'm going to lead. What you see is what you get with me. I ran a very transparent, very honest campaign, and I just felt like I don't need to become anybody to win. I'm just going to be myself, an entrepreneur, a person that talks his shit and stands on what he believes in and believes in his community. And so far, I've been doing pretty well. What did you think about the outcome of the election?
I expected this to be the outcome because we've talked about this before. I think people were fed up with, you know, politics as usual. And you came in with a fresh set of like eyes on the city, and people really are seeing that there's a possibility that their life can change under new leadership. So I expected that this would happen. So it was good to see it. And like at the election day party, not only did you have like a busload of people come up to support you from Los Angeles, people flew in from New York, but just to see all the people from Stockton who came to that event, all the kids who were there who were having such a good time, like you can really feel the energy is shifting in Stockton.
And shout out to Rob. I look at him and we look at the room. The room is beautiful. We had a band, we had DJ and all that. I looked at Rob, I said, we need balloons. We need 1,000 balloons. I don't know where Rob found the balloons, but Rob found, I'm going to give you a round of applause for finding 1,000 balloons.
We got to give credit to Sarah too. She helped out.
So. Shout out to Sarah Hollett. Listen, we had a great, great event. The youth came out. People had an amazing time. One thing I learned for sure, no more open bar for Stockton, California. Y'all abused that bar, the adults. Y'all didn't know how to act. Y'all thought it was a weekend. It was like a Tuesday or Wednesday night. I don't know, never again. But we had a great time. And now, you know, we took some time off. We went to Miami, had a little R&R. And now we're back and we're getting ready to get back into it. You know, the next election is the general back in November, down in November. But, you know, every day is a campaign because now we got to do the work and we got to build up to a successful launch of that campaign. And it's going to be something that you've never seen before. So please stay tuned. And if you're from Stockton and surrounding areas and you want to get involved with the campaign, just go to jasonleeforstockton.com and just keep following. Yeah, but no, we're here. Look, this production today is brought to you by Don't Know What the Hell is Going to Happen. Why? Because I don't know what's going to happen. We have nobody on teleprompter and Marina is on vacation. And so the bullpen is just bull, bunch of bull today. It's me and Rob, but we're going to power through it because that's what we do. Rob is giving trade with this new mustache today. So is this like something new? This is new.
I'm loving it. Yeah, yeah.
It's giving new. Real butch, like Larchmont-esque.
I wanted to try something different, you know, and it's working.
Okay, but what... You know, because when me and my barber have conversation, you know, sometimes I have it darker, but I always have this. But if I shaved all this off, I would look like a lesbian. I'm telling you right now. So I choose to have a little bit of hair. What was the meeting between you and your barber when he said, you know what, Rob, just throw a little hair on it and just rock this mustache?
Because I was like, I was going to an event and I wanted to just do something different. Because I felt like I always just shave all my facial hair off and I get the exact same haircut every time. Like, I just wanted to try something different. He was like, try a mustache. And I was like, nah, that sounds creepy. Mm. And he's like, nah, try it. And then he cut it. And I was like, I kind of like this. I don't know.
You know, well, listen, if it's working for you, it works for me. I have to say, I didn't plan to say this today, but one of the last podcasts, I trashed Beyonce's Texas Hold'em. I told you, the girl, just hang it up. Go sit down. At this point, you're trying to bankrupt the nation because you're taking so much money from all of us people who are in love with you. We're buying your music. Now you got a whole album coming out. And you're probably going to have another world tour, which we're going to be okie. What is it called when you do the dance? What's that dance called?
Like a line dance? I don't know what you call it.
I don't know what that. The hokey pokey. We're going to be doing that all over the nation in silver. But anyway, I have to tell you, Texas Hold'em has grown on me. I can't stop playing it.
Yes, I know. We talked about that originally. We were both, because I hit you up the night it came out, and I was like, I don't know. But I was like, maybe if I hear it like 15 more times, it's going to grow on me. And then it was at the campaign party when DJ Damage played it and we were all like dancing. And I was kind of like, I don't know. I kind of like this now.
Well, it was that beat.
Yes.
It was that bass. As you know, Beyonce, it's sort of like what fast food restaurants do when they put that GMO in there to get you all to be obese. Like, it's just a drug that you just can't kick once you've had it. And I'm a fan. But, you know, one thing I will say to Beyonce's credit, she's done a really good job of educating us that country music is our music, that we've just been hoodwinked into believing that it's their genre. Even I, as smart as I think I am, went live on social media saying how she's making us fall in love with their music. And people were like, wait a minute, that's our music. And so when I really looked at what she's been able to create with Texas Hold'em, the fact that she went and found a black banjo artist to play on the banjo on the song. I mean, that's why she's iconic. So I'm a fan. So you will see me at some point in cowboy boots, Wranglers, and a hat somewhere doing a line dance. It's just going to happen. All right. Is there any other update before we just get to what people want? Because I know y'all are saying, you know, the people are watching the show and they're like, we don't want 30 minutes of good heartfelt love, and we want to get straight to the tea. You guys have to understand, I've evolved as a human being. I'm going to tell you the things that you need to know so that way you can get inspired or laugh about whatever we're going through before we get to the things that you guys show up for. But they have already said in the comments, they want to get straight to the tea.
They want the tea.
Okay, well, let's go straight to the tea then. It's Tea with Jason Lee. Now, we have no teleprompter here. Well, we do have a teleprompter. We don't have a teleprompter administrator. So I will be doing it from my phone. And the only reason why I'm showing you this behind the scenes is because those of you who are out there trying to start your little production and you just don't, you're like, oh, he got this big old production. There are days where we got to go back to the ghetto. It is what it is. But that's a testament of getting the job done no matter what. What I was going to do, cancel the show because we have no teleprompter? I did it before. But I didn't want to do that today. So we're going to talk about all the things that's in the press. This one I saw yesterday on social media. Now, this is a rapper who admitted that he smashed a man. You know, the crazy part is I really don't know why this is even news, because half the rappers that you all know today, they may not look like this. They're probably a little bit more famous. They've all smashed something in the LGBT acronym. Is that an acronym or what is that?
Yeah.
Alphabet? Dave Chappelle would say. The alphabet people. I don't know. This rapper, he's admitting that he has smashed a man. Now, why do you think this is news? Why do you think this has captivated the nation?
Because he's a rapper. And
so?
They have a stereotype of what a rapper is supposed to be. So they have to fit into a box. And part of that box is you can't be gay. Or you can't have done anything.
Well, listen. Gay. Milwaukee rapper Josiah Gilley, a.k.a. JP, has been going viral after dropping his new song, Bad Bitty, which he's been praised by Chris Brown, Wiz Khalifa, and LA Choppa and more. However, the quick success was nearly eclipsed after someone leaked a photo showing another man sitting on his lap. Take a look. That is him, and I don't know what that is. That's his boo. Now, you know, if I didn't know that that was a man from the story, I would say that's a girl. But when you know it's a man and then they have matching pajamas, you know that's gay. Anyway, the caption under the photo says, I promise y'all not finna keep asking me for TS. Y'all messy just like me. Is he saying for TIS? Anyway, TS could stand for transsexual.
Yeah.
Despite the viral image, JP isn't denying anything. In fact, he went on live claiming he's not gay. He just felt like cracking another man. Take a look.
I don't like niggas.
We fucking the fuck
around. I don't like niggas. I just tapped that nigga. I ain't gonna lie, me making my decision, nigga, that's like the same way you make decision to crack a bad bitch or like to crack a hoe. I made a decision to crack a nigga. Certified check. Like, bro, I'm cracking. Hey, shit, money good. I'm cracking.
At the end of that video, he said, if the money's good, he will crack a ninja.
Mm-hmm.
Which means he's gay for pay?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Put that picture back up. Because they say you pay what you weigh. This don't weigh that much. So he didn't get that much money. That is definitely a free 99 meal right there. Well, anyway. Now, fans remain shocked at his confession. And JP remained confident in himself and in his music to not let his past ruin his future. And he, of course, had to let fans know what he thought. This is what he said. If you saw, it's true. I don't give a fuck. We still lit. What's the word? Is that confidence or is that a coming out? Or both?
Hey, if he's saying he's not gay.
People are watching this right now saying, if he's saying he cracked it, then he's gay. I would say if he cracked it once, maybe not. If he cracked it twice, maybe he was unsure. If he cracked it three times, you gay. Right?
No, I feel like you could be gay for pay and not be, like, you don't want to live a gay lifestyle. Like, you don't want to fall in love with a dude. Like, if you getting paid for a little sex on the side, whatever. I don't think they're gay.
Now, people was watching this saying that you're crazy, but, you know, in the industry of porn right now, I discovered this years ago, there are a lot of straight male gay porn artists. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, let me back up. There's a lot of straight men who do gay porn as a job.
Yep.
Right? So it's sort of like if you work at McDonald's, you're not a hamburger, but you make one. I don't know. Is that a right? I don't know the analogy to make there.
Yes. It's going in the right direction. Like, you don't have to be, they don't want to be in a relationship with a man. They don't feel that, like, an intimate connection with a man. Like, he wants to spend the rest of his life with one. But in a circumstance where he's making money, he's okay with, like, a sexual encounter. I don't think that makes him gay.
I want to be careful for all the people that are in my phone book. Because I speak to a very universal network. Let me say that I don't want to live in a world where we have to label everything. Like, gay, straight, trans, gay for pay, that's a different thing. I don't know what that is. I have never been a pay for gay person. Like, if you're only going to be gay with me if I pay you, that's not happening. And then you think, wait, I did take a couple people shopping. You know what I mean? It wasn't currency transacted in the hand, but, you know, you put a nice little Marc Jacobs on them, or, you know, I don't know. I think that we live in a really wicked world right now where some of you are just so lazy that instead of pushing your mixtape to the front of the line at Rolling Loud, you rather roll up on a penis or, you know, a mangina, the way that person looked like they were sitting on your lap. And look, I don't call me transphobic for calling it mangina. It is what it is. He calls it a bussy. You call it mangina, whatever. But the problem that I have here with this whole story is that I never really know nowadays if these stories are trolling for clicks and comments, because we never would have talked about this rapper here. But now I want to actually interview the rapper because I actually want to explore, what did you do? You know, just as part of research. Well, anyway, days later, the man sitting on JP's lap identified himself as Anthony Versace, who is a makeup artist. Of course, his name is Versace. Now, Anthony hopped on TikTok claiming that the photo's 4 years old and to please leave JP alone. Here's Anthony using a voiceover while sending a message to his critics. Take a look.
I know damn well that is not my shit I just heard. I know damn well you not biting on my shit.
Run that back.
I know damn well that is not my shit I just heard. I know damn well you not biting on my shit.
Wait.
I'm just waiting because I already know.
No, first of all, Artilia, my makeup artist, is sitting right over here, and Kaylin, my other makeup artist, is not here today. Why y'all makeup artists be looking like dead corpses? Like, they just put y'all ready to hop in a box. Like, that was way too much makeup for me, right?
It's a lot.
It was almost like the drag show we went to recently, right?
It's a lot. It's how they all paint their faces on completely now.
You don't look. I don't care how much makeup you got on that. How many? Well, JP loves what he loves. See, I think Lil Nas X did it right. You know, like he's done stunts, but it's been more of kind of like turning the industry on itself, like turning a joke on itself. He's played around with God, and between him and God, he's going to have a problem when he get to the gate. Ain't nothing like getting to the gate and you locked out. And Jesus on the other side, talking about Jesus on the main line, he said, you can't come in. You know what I mean?
He's like, you know what you did.
I just, you know, because there's some things that people troll, and I think this may be, maybe JP's trolling, maybe not. I don't know. Versace, I think you can just maybe take one wipe of that makeup off. And you guys look like a cute couple back then. I don't know if the music is hitting. I did go to your Instagram today, JP. Your followers haven't gone up tremendously, and there aren't lots of comments left on your last photo, so I really don't know how far this is going for you. But, hey, you guys should go check out his Instagram. Here it is right here. Just go over there and tell him that, you know, he could do better. Do we want to talk about this? I mean, this guy's not a bad-looking guy. Is he your type?
No.
Bye. Well, speaking of God, this guy's in jail. Bling Bishop, guilty of fraud. Now, you guys remember this guy. This is Brooklyn, New York, Bishop Lamour Whitehead. Now, this man has been convicted of multiple fraud charges. Do you remember when this guy was robbed?
Yes.
I know we got that clip. Before I even get to the story, this man was preaching at the church when a whole robbery went down on live for everybody to watch. I'm going to get to the whole story, but let me just show you this robbery video. Take a look. Now, when they say lay your problems at the altar, this is not what they meant. This is a pastor getting robbed in Brooklyn in church of all his jewelry by masked men. And then they left. New York Bishop Lamour Whitehead has been convicted of multiple fraud charges. Now, he allegedly scammed a parishioner out of $90,000 and used the money to fund his luxury lifestyle. We always see the bling. And he also allegedly defrauded a businessman with promises to connect him with his close friend, New York Mayor Eric Adams. Y'all get one black mayor and put him in all of this mess. They called the bishop Bling Bishop because he was known for wearing tons of jewelry and designer suits. And he drives around in two different Rolls Royce vehicles that he's getting from your money. Records also show that he lived in a nearly $2 million home in Paramus, New Jersey, and also owned apartment buildings in Hartford, Connecticut. Now, let me show you a photo of Bishop and his lifestyle. Here's one. This is that suit right there belongs on somebody's pimp. And why does that look? That looks like old girl from Real Housewives of Potomac, Karen Huger. Don't she a little bit? He's not a bad-looking pastor. I mean, I know he looked like he got a little body under there. Mm-hmm. So he's probably schmoozing people. Can you see that he has a big old Cuban link on his neck?
Yep.
Who's going to trust a pastor? Now, that suit is bad, though. I ain't going to lie. Okay. But who would trust a pastor that dresses like that? Would you?
No. And they all probably broke. Like, everybody in the congregation giving them all their coins.
Okay, that's his home. That house is amazing. And he Gucci down to the socks. Okay, well, I personally don't think I could have trusted a bishop that drove a car like that, lived in a house like that, or was dressing like that. But apparently some of you did because you were dumb enough to continue to go there and lay your money down. But because he looks like that, it was probably a lot of ladies that brought their, you know, checks. Well, Bishop White have flaunted his luxury lifestyle so much that he once got robbed during the church, as I showed you. And they took over $1 million in jewelry. But 2 years before that robbery, the 56-year-old bishop was first accused of forcefully persuading, I'm going to say allegedly, 58-year-old Pauline Anderson into handing over $90,000 of her retirement. And in 2020, he allegedly promised to help her buy a house because she couldn't get a conventional loan because her credit was so low. But the bishop blew through that money buying cars, going on shopping sprees, buying rental properties. Now, he's accused of defrauding another person named Brandon Belamonte. Look, I'm going to say allegedly. Because he was running an auto body shop out in the Bronx. Now, the bishop tried to coerce him into lending him $500,000 if he could get access to the mayor, who he said he was very close to. Now, this week, the bishop, who had a previous conviction for identity theft, has now been found guilty of 5 counts, including wire fraud, attempted extortion, lying to the FBI. And after the news went viral, Bishop Lamore Whitehead went on Instagram claiming that he's appealing the verdict and that the FBI tried to make him an informant against the mayor. Take a look.
We're going to be appealing this, and we're going to do what we have to do. But I need y'all to understand that you can't in one breath stay no justice, no peace. And then you don't even get the whole story. And everybody's sending me to prison. Everybody's saying I robbed this person and robbed that person and robbed this person. Right? Research, y'all. Research. All you have to do is research. Go on Pacer. Put my name in there. And look at the court documents. That's all you have to do. So I ask you guys to really be sensitive that I have children that look at your posts. And I've never done anything to you guys, right? And I'm still a man of God, and I still preach the word of God, no matter what you guys think. But what if, just say what if I'm not guilty, right? What if? I need y'all to understand that this trial was just another round in the fight. That's all it was. Another round in the fight. But the fight is not over, y'all. And I'm not going to let anybody discourage me. And I'm not, and I really don't care what people are saying. But I want y'all to understand that this didn't have nothing to do with me. It was an attack on the mayor of New York City. And I decline not to be an informant against the mayor of the city.
He got some nice lips.
His skin was glowing.
Skin was glowing. Lips was nice. If I was desperate and thirsty, I would have believed you. The Bible says, come as you are. They didn't say come in a Rolls Royce. Why did you have to do that video in front of a double R headrest? Because you want us to see this lifestyle that you're perpetuating, the same lifestyle that got you robbed, the same lifestyle that got you in a black mirror and a crosshairs because you was allegedly trying to get $500,000 to connect them. I don't even use my relationships to let nobody pay. That'd be like me saying, give me $500,000, I'll let you meet Madonna. Now, I could do it, but I think that there's something fundamentally wrong. And you being a man of the cloth, I don't know, what kind of cloth are you getting? Is it a do-rag? Is it the cloth after you have sex with somebody? Is it a bandana, blood and crip? Like, what kind of cloth are you the man of? I just don't think you're a man of the Jesus cloth. You've been robbed on camera at gunpoint for wearing $1 million worth of jewelry. And if you're in front of your parishioners or your people, I know they're not millionaires. So why are you even dressed up in Gucci down to the socks with $1 million worth of jewelry? Because this might be true. I don't know. You've been to church. Does Regina, your mother in Chicago, go to a church with a pastor with $1 million worth of jewelry?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Yeah, like you said, I grew up in a family with, like, my grandfather was a preacher, my grandmother was an evangelist, my mom's a preacher. And I could not imagine a world where, like, every person in that room should be in a place of financial stability. If this man is, like, running up, buying these Gucci and Fendi suits and living in his house and having 2 Rolls Royces, that's ridiculous. It's crazy. Because he's using their hard-earned money that they're coming to the church every Sunday and giving their 10 or 20% or some, probably giving way more than that because they have this faith in this man who's robbing them. It's crazy.
Yeah, listen, let me just give you some benefit of the doubt. We don't know what your other career is. We don't know what your investments are. We don't know what your 401k looks like. We don't know if you have any of that. We don't know anything about you other than what we see. And I know that we live in a clip-based world, but everything looks bad. When you're a man of the cloth, yes, you don't take an oath of poverty. And I understand that because trust me, I'm going to be city council soon and I'm not going to take an oath of poverty. Everybody keeps telling me don't get on jets, don't do this and that, you know, because it doesn't look right for the community. And I get it because optics do matter, but I'm not going to hide my lifestyle and what I've worked hard to earn as a result. Because when we took the jets, it was only so we could make sure we were there for the people because we couldn't find any other transportation. But I could understand how optics matter and I'm more aware of that. But when you live in a huge mansion like that, driving 2 Rolls Royces, wearing Gucci down, hundreds, millions of dollars worth of jewelry, and people say there's a fire. Well, you gave a lot of smoke, and now you're catching the smoke. And now the mayor of New York is catching a stray, all because of the bishop. And if you're a bishop, that means you went from a deacon to a pastor to a bishop. Who elected you? Who appointed you as the bishop of anything? By the way, happy belated to Bishop Don Juan. It was his birthday recently. You know, the one that hangs with Snoop with the big goblet. I don't know. You guys do kind of dress alike. Would you hit that?
No.
Yes, you would.
No.
You just don't want to say it because of the pastor.
No.
You would. You would.
That's a hard pass.
Hard?
Yeah.
Why?
No.
He's not attractive to you?
No, he's a good looking person.
But he could pray for you. Anyway, bye. All right. Speaking of Madonna, Madonna is under fire. Now, what we're not going to do is we're not going to attack the queen of pop, because she is the queen. Okay? Madonna is on a worldwide tour right now. As you know, she is circling the globe and bringing every gay from every crack of the earth together to listen to her perform songs, hits on hits on hits on hits. This is a woman who has 40 decades of music, 40 years of music. That has transformed the world. And whether you want to give her credit or not, this was the first to ever do it. Before the Britney Spears dancing in circles, before Christina Aguilera's, before all the girls that you know, this is the original. This is the blueprint. Well, anyway, Madonna is on tour. And, of course, in Madonna form, she's under fire. Now, you remember recently she was on tour and she fell on stage when her dancer pulled her chair. She fell down and, you know, it was... whatever, but she got back up at 63, 64 years old. I'm going to give you a round of applause, Madonna, because she got back up. Now, Madonna and I, as you know, are friends, but also we share the same birthday, so she's big Leo over there. Leo going to always find a way to get on their 2 feet. Well, speaking of 2 feet, she got found in a sticky situation after mistaking the fan who was in a wheelchair for a nonchalant audience member, and the awkward incident unfolded in L.A., when she scolded the fan in the wheelchair and told them to stand up during her sold-out show.
Bling, bling, bling. Bitches is mad.
That was an accident. Hold on. Madonna.
What was the reason, bitch?
I know Madge, so I'm going to go out on a limb. On a limb. Listen, I'm not being shady, y'all. I'm literally just going through this, right? I'm going to go out on a limb to say that the lights were bright. She don't know who's in the building. She doesn't consult with wheelchair services before every show, okay? Well. What?
I'm just waiting.
Little did she know that she was about to face an extremely... extremely uncomfortable moment. And of course, everybody got one of these. It was caught on camera. Take a look.
Check this right with me. What are you doing sitting down over there? What are you doing sitting down? Oh, okay. Politically incorrect. Sorry about that. I'm glad you're here.
She apologized. Here's the deal. Madonna is... very awkward when you're talking to her. She's so smart and she's so mature that she just probably noticed that she messed up and said, my bad, you know, and kept it moving. She walked up on the person in the wheelchair and realized that the person was not wanting to stand up. They couldn't. And so she apologized. Well, here's what some of the socialites had to say in Hollywood Unlocked comments over on Instagram. One fan said, so what if they were sitting? They paid to sit there. Another one said, her only job was to perform, not to be concerned about who was sitting in the audience. Keep that stupid apology. She owed that person more of an apology. To throw her hand and say sorry wasn't enough. This be me jumping to conclusions. I have secondhand embarrassment. Even if they wasn't in a wheelchair, you don't know what they got going on. Girl, F you. They pay to sit or stand, wheelchair or not. Class of Madonna, no class as usual. When I come out on stage, everybody better get up. That's just the way it is. And I think as she was performing, she wanted everybody on their feet. Is there anything wrong with that?
No, she was just trying to hype up the crowd. So she wanted everybody to get up to make sure they're having a good time. Like, that sounds normal to me.
I would have been embarrassed though, wouldn't you?
I think she was. It was obvious that she was, you know, embarrassed. So I think that's why her apology was kind of like, oh.
But at least she apologized.
Yeah.
Because knowing Madonna, she don't have to apologize. I mean, she don't, not that she doesn't have to, she just doesn't apologize.
Yeah.
Typically. Well, she apologized and, you know, life goes on. I haven't seen the fan online saying much about not having the moment. You know, the fan is the only one that really is entitled to an opinion at this point. And the fan probably could have went backstage and, you know, sipped some Cristal or some 1942. I don't know if Madonna drinks that, you know, but she could have had a moment with Madonna. We don't know. But when are we going to get to a place where we don't have to drag somebody for filth when you make a mistake? You know, I hosted the reunion for Bobby Lights, I Love You, and we had two people there in a wheelchair. We had Roland Ray and Hot Wheels. I didn't even name him Hot Wheels. I think it's disrespectful that they named him Hot Wheels, but they did, and he embraced it. And now he's online as Hot Wheels. But, you know, there was a moment during that show where, you know, he was being argumentative, and I told him to roll out. And people were mad they drug me for filth. But the reality is that when we, as people who can stand, roll up on somebody, we roll up. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't thinking be disrespectful to him in a wheelchair, like, roll out, like, roll out. I was like, roll out of here. Y'all lost your mind. Well, he thought it was funny. I thought it was funny. It was a moment we went on, whatever. I think we have to let Madge move on. She's 60-something years old. She's the queen of pop. She's on a worldwide tour. She's probably tired and exhausted. She's tired of y'all in these comments, like, I'm tired of this story. Do you want to say anything else?
Yeah, I just feel like everybody wants to say the nastiest thing they can on social media so they can go viral. And, like, saying fuck you to Madonna on Twitter or wherever is just ridiculous. Like, come on.
Listen, Madonna is on a world tour in her 60s. We're going to give you your flowers. Because all of us hope to have this level of success. I want 40 years in the business. Not now, because I started later. So seven more years, I want a full retirement. But, I mean, she deserves to be given her flowers. She is still with Queen Madonna. That person is still in a wheelchair. And we've all moved on. Period. 100%. Okay. Bye, Madonna. I kind of want to go see her in Mexico.
Yes.
Would you go?
Yes.
Okay, we have to see how much those tickets are. Because Madonna, I had two tickets for $10,000. And then once you rescheduled and they gave me a chance to double think, and I ain't going to lie, I canceled them tickets. Because $10,000 is a lot of money.
That's a lot.
Especially after you spent $40,000 for Beyonce. Mm-hmm. That girl broke me over here in Texas. Hold on. I'm going to hold this bank account. All right. Well, don't hold your breath, because this one is still getting dragged all over the social media landscape that we call Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You might even be drug on TikTok and Snapchat, too. Drea is under fire, and it's because she's in a relationship, I don't even know if she's in a relationship. She's pregnant by this guy, Jalen. Now, Jalen is a cute, young basketball player who's had his own trials with the press and with the law. And we'll get into that in a second. But anyway, so somehow he's a basketball player and she's a former basketball wife. Well, now she's trying to get wifed up because she's having his baby. You know, all week I've been dodging this story because I don't personally care for Drea. And it's just my own thing. I just, you know how you're around people and they give you that, like, that energy that, like, it's just nasty. It's just like you get that energy from them. Like you can smell evil. That's what I get when I'm around Drea. I don't know what it is. I used to really like her a little bit, but I was never her friend. But like now when I'm around her, I just try not to look at her. Because I don't know, something about her. It's just, I don't know. She's just not somebody that I gravitate to. I try to get away from her. Well, Drea is slamming critics over her baby. Now, let me show you these two right here. Drea and Jalen Green continue to be the talk of the internet after the 39-year-old reality star confirmed that she's pregnant with this 22-year-old man's baby. Now, the former basketball wife star has been romantically linked to the Houston Rockets shooting guard since last summer. Now, in late January, Hollywood Unlocked exclusively shared the first look at Drea appearing to be pregnant, and she was at a sporting event, and she was sporting some oversized overalls. Take a look. Now, the video went viral, and Drea continued to hide her pregnancy by posting content hiding her stomach, showing her from the chest up, or from behind, or by simply posting old content. Now, a month later, she's now confirmed that she's pregnant and expecting a baby girl. Let me give her a round of applause. We'll give her a round of applause. Yeah, we're gonna listen. We're not gonna be negative. We're just gonna be honest. Congratulations, Dre and Jalen, on the baby girl that's soon to come. Now, on International Women's Day, Dre made her announcement, sharing maternity photos, you know, and captioning them with this message just for you. Take a look. Happy International Women's Day. As women, we navigate through so much, often leading us to question, what is my purpose? For me, the magic lies in motherhood and the awe-inspiring ability to bring life into this world over the span of 2 decades. It's my superpower. And if anything can surpass the wonder of being a woman, it's the privilege of bringing another woman into existence. We are overjoyed to share our love for you, little girl. I'm excited to speak words to the daughter I never thought I'd have. We are anxious about your arrival, but take your time. This world can be tough, but know you are being brought into a space of love, security, and adornment. 28 weeks. Now let me show you a photo from the maternity shoot. Very, very beautiful. Here's another one. Very beautiful. But why the nigga ain't in it? Go back to the statement. It's what's between the lines that you must read. Hold on, let me find. We are overjoyed to share our love for you. Let me see the pregnancy photo. Ain't no we there. Let me see the next one. Ain't no we there. Unless you're putting both side-by-side photos and there's two of her, so that's we. But we weren't in the photo. So we don't know if he agreed to this or if it was a slip up. You know, sometimes you have a couple shots of Don Julio and then, you know, didn't pull out fast enough. Remember, she's the one that said that her wholeness got deleted because she used to be. In these streets. And we all know that. You can't delete your wholeness.
It was all a lie.
Well, anyway, remember Drea got slammed years ago for being a bad mom. Because when she was on her come up, you know, there were a lot of people that slammed her for her mothering, her motherhood. You can go back and research that. We all know that. I'm not going to slam her for being in the streets because he's for the streets. He's 20-something. He's for the streets. I'm not anymore, but I used to be the streets. And so we all have our journey, right? And I'm not going to, I don't think it's fair to blame her for being a thought when most men are thoughts and most people are thoughts. We all have our thought era. Mm-hmm. And when you live in LA and you're in this industry, you've had a thought era. We've all had it. So I don't think it's fair all the slamming she's been getting online. I don't even think it's fair because of the age difference. I just think we don't like her. And we like him, but we don't like you. And I think that's why the rules are, they're trying to apply them all to you because the age difference isn't that huge and men do it all the time. And so you're already a mom and you've cleaned your life up. You deleted your wholeness in your own mind, even though we remember it. And I think it's all unfair why people are attacking you. And I'm not going to subscribe to that. I'm not going to attack you, but I understand why people don't like you. And I do think it's happening because people don't like you. You know, you were nasty on the show. And you know, you had that real toxic relationship with that one boy who used to play football. Don't know where he's at. He's probably somewhere happy now that he's not with you. And now he's stuck with you. What?
Your reads are just so good.
That is not a read. That is the truth. That's a read?
Yes.
That is not a read. That is the truth. You've not moved on from a relationship that you used to be miserable in and now you're much happier?
Yeah, I have.
We can bleep that name out.
Let's please bleep that.
But I'm just saying, like, aren't you much happier now?
Yes, absolutely.
That man is much happier like you are. Okay? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. Can we also
we'll bleep that name out too? Are you not much happier now?
Much happier, yes. Oh God.
And in my case, we're gonna bleep this name out too. So happy. Okay. So wherever her ex is, he is somewhere going, yes. Because in her mind, he knows she going, well.
Allegedly.
Either way, shortly after her announcement, Drea shared this Instagram post to her story. Get comfortable being misunderstood. Only a fraction of people will be able to truly grasp your essence. You are not on anyone else's timeline of comprehension. Also, it's none of your business how others choose to perceive you. Most High sees you clearly. Let that be enough. I like the sentiment, but it's giving grand illusion for me. But if it makes you sleep good at night on those NBA player sheets of his, then great. But you, but to try to paint a picture of a world that you don't live in, it's almost like you just sold us a Wakanda dream. Like, we know Africa is beautiful. We know Africa is the land of grandiosity and all of that. But you ain't sipping no purple juice and turning it on a tiger either. You know what I mean? That's not a read. Rob is trying to make me messy. I'm the councilman. I'm not here for this. The boy done got her name tattooed on. Do we have a picture of the tattoo? The boy done got her name allegedly tattooed all in the crevice of his rib cage. Well, anyway, despite her post about being misunderstood, see, y'all think I be lying. There's the receipt. Good looking young man. I know his mom is somewhere watching reruns of Basketball Wives, shaking her head and texting Jackie Christie to find out how the hell they let this happen. What you think, Rob? You here for it?
Look, I just feel like people are policing her vagina. Maybe because, like you said, they have a past experience with her watching her on the show and just don't like her. But I don't think there's an issue. So what? She fell in love with this young dude.
Fell in love.
Or fell in like with this young dude, got knocked up. Who cares? They can both afford to pay for the baby, so who cares?
Who said?
I would assume, you know.
Allegedly.
They can afford to pay for this baby, so let them do their thing.
Well, if they can't, he can. Jalen, you just inherited an 18-year bill. That's just the reality. It's a reality. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of responsibility. Now, I will tell you, despite what anybody's ever said about him in the news, he has so much love online. I've been following his career since college. Well, did he go straight from high school to the NBA? I can't remember. Well, when he was playing in school, I just know that he has a really good following online. People really like this kid. And I want to see him be successful. But Jalen, like, I get it. She's got a booty. She's big old booty and all that. Shrey is a bad girl. Body is banging. But y'all need to start looking past the bodies. Because what's up here? What's in here? I'm serious. Like, I'm telling you, I'm over the industry at this point. Because I feel like people, it's like a high school. Like, everybody hooks up with everybody. And I get it, because it's like we're all in the same kind of social class. We're all in the same, we go to the same parties. So you start to see your community. You go to Drake's birthday party, she's going to be there. Maybe not now because she's pregnant, but like, you know, there was an era where the Kardashians were at every man's party, just ready. I'm trying to be a better person, y'all.
Councilman.
Hey, I got a job to do. This is my day job, okay? This is my therapy. I don't spill the tea. The tea for me is the truth. So if I'm spilling tea, it's spilling the truth. And the truth is, you don't believe me about her? Google it. You think people like this? Nah. Well, despite her post about being misunderstood, social media didn't care because they continued to drag her for filth. And while people were excited about her new bundle of joy, the majority of social users condemned her for having a baby with a man 1 year older than her oldest son, Nico, who's a college student in Atlanta. Wait a minute, Dre, it's been that long that your kid is 1 year younger than your boyfriend? This is getting worse, huh? Is it getting worse?
It's just the way it was presented.
Wait, but is it wrong that her boyfriend's 1 year older than her son?
No. Hey, listen. If I meet somebody,
wait,
20 years younger than me.
No,
so what?
Okay, listen. Maybe like to chill with on the weekend on the low at the house, but like not like get knocked up. Okay, listen. The rule of thumb, from what I've been told, and this, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, is that the youngest age you should date is half your age plus 7. So if she's, how old is she?
Did it say 30, 36?
39. Dang, that Botox is sitting. Okay, so she's 39. He's 22. So half of 39 is 19 mm-hmm. plus 7. 26. He falls under that. So she's violating the rule. That's what I'm saying.
Well, then what about Cher?
That's old pussy. She can do whatever she wants. You know, when it got cobwebs on it, I mean, at some point you just need a jumper cable. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. See, I think men have done it for so long. Men can date way younger than them, than their age, and no one cares.
Oh, I get the double standard. I'm saying, for me, 46 years old, if I was to date somebody, date like this, mm-hmm. publicly, let them be talking about it, that's 23 plus 7 is 30. So the youngest that I should be dating is 30 years old. That sounds about right. Dating a 23-year-old, look. We at the club. We're in Greece. I'm on vacation. Sunset. 24-year-old walks by. I don't know. Might have a good time. Put a ring on it, be in a relationship, bring them to the house, put them on the cameras, and walk a carpet with them. Never.
Why not?
Because they're going to be like, is that your son?
So what?
Because this is how old he's old enough to be her son.
He could be, you know, mentally in the right place, like mature, you know,
emotionally
mature.
So you would date a 23-year-old?
Yes. You at least have to be able to buy your own drink.
Artilia, would you date a 23-year-old?
If you're emotionally mature, mentally mature, he has a career. I'm sure he has his finances
together.
I went
on a date. Okay. I'm going to tell my own business. Okay. I went on a date with a 23-year-old. Okay. Were you there when we went to go see Mariah Carey? No.
No.
We went to go see Mariah Carey. He did not know who Mariah Carey was. That's a problem.
That's
when I realized... Nah, son. Nah. He didn't know who Chaka Khan was.
Oh, God.
He didn't know when Jermaine Dupri walked out, he said, who was that? Now, you know I knew better than going on a date with him. It looked good on the outside, but what are y'all going to talk about? He doesn't know anything about Aretha Franklin. He doesn't know anything about Stevie Wonder. He don't know. He probably don't know Boyz II Men. He knows NBA YoungBoy, 2 Chainz. He knows Lil Baby, Lil Bibby. He knows everything little. Lil Yachty. He don't know nothing about Tamia. He don't know about SWV. He ain't getting weak in the knees. He got weak in the knees over you and you got it pregnant. For real.
I guess I get that. But you can introduce him to those things. Yeah.
His mother. Anyway, I'm done. Listen. I think there's something wrong with it. I'm not dating that young. I will, you know. I'll dust something off. But I'm not dating a 23-year-old. Because at that point, you're just an ornament. Like, there's nobody around the world. I'm not going to go to Paris or London.
See?
Well, I did meet somebody from Paris who was younger, but mm-hmm. did it work out? No.
No.
So, you know what I mean? Because, like, even though I'm not 24, 23, 22, 25... My ambition is in a very different... I'm still very ambitious. I'm very focused. And you're in your 20s. You're trying to figure stuff out. 22 years old, young guy in the NBA, good looking. He got a whole life ahead of him. Mark my words, this ain't going to last. She's going to be a baby mama again. He ain't putting a ring on it. And he's gonna be with somebody else because he's going to wake up one day after she posts that Fashion Nova snapback body and he's going to be like, I'm over it. He's not joining the Basketball Wives franchise. This boy is cute, young. He's going to be rich, successful. He has a whole life ahead of him. And she is going to turn this into a bag. Remember I told you. Remember I told you. It's going to happen. And look, I'm not even hating. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, the guy told you that she was able to escape. Well, he escaped before NFL star Orlando Scandrick. He was good looking, too. He has a son with her, and the name is Drew. Drew. Well, he'll be 8 next month and is reportedly living with and being raised by his nanny, Yesenia Zamora, who is one of Drea's close friends that she reportedly named as Drew's godmother. Hold on. I gotta rerun that back. I don't got no teleprompter, so I gotta make sure I just read what I read. Cause I know I didn't read what I just read. Cause I'm sorry, Dre, if you thought you got read for filth a minute ago, it's coming. I'm gonna read this teleprompter and then I'm gonna give an opinion. Did I read what I thought I just read?
Yes.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
No, I did not.
You did.
Ooh. Brace for impact. Drea also shares a son with former NFL star Orlando Scandrick. His name is Drew, and he'll be 8. Hold on. Let me rewind this again. Oh, Lord. I know I didn't read this right. I got to slow down. Okay. Ready? Here we go, y'all. Okay. Okay. Wait. Drea also shares a son with former NFL star Orlando Scandrick. His name is Drew. He'll be 8 next month, and he is reportedly living with and being raised by his nanny, Yesenia Zamora. See? You know what? I started to feel guilty halfway through the show. Why is her 8 month year, her 8 year old is being raised by the nanny who is her best friend? Now, this is his godmother. And now Dre is welcoming a child with his 22 year old. Now I understand why everybody has something to say. Cameron sounded off. Look.
These young basketball players was kids. And they watch these bitches on TV growing up. It's like this, Murda. It's like, and I'm not saying, and I don't even know if it would be a stat or if I would have a baby with this person or anything, but it's almost like, yo, you know I back Felicia Rashad, right? You know I got Bill Cosby's TV wife. If we was younger, I'm talking about when we was 21 and 22. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I went and got Felicia Rashad. You know, I'm like, yo, bro, you can't get mad at the female, first of all. Second mm-hmm. of all, if Drea announced it, my question is this, did he co-sign it? That's the question.
That's a good statement, Killer. What is he saying? Right, because, is he happy?
Right.
If he likes exactly. it, pause. I love it.
Right, exactly. You know, this may be an embarrassing moment because you got to realize the mothers of a 22-year-old or 19 at 25 is around, you know, similar to our age, I would say. And it's like you got to realize, you know who we really would like to talk to? Jalen Green's parents. To see if they approve. Because they like, yo, they probably like, you dumb motherfucker. What the fuck are you doing, my nigga? You know yeah. they're going to keep it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if she have kids. I don't recollect her having kids or anything else. But
she does.
I do, you know.
So, sorry, not to cut you off. Up. Yeah, her kid's the same age as Jalen Green.
Oh, I take exactly. that back then. I take that back then.
Exactly.
Gilly the Kid also said that Jalen is the youngest step pop in history. Look.
Just found out that Drea is pregnant by the young boy Jalen Green. And they said they said Jalen and her son the same age. So like, do that make that nigga like the youngest step pop in the history of the game? Like how many step pops out here the same age as they stepson? That's wild. Like, imagine how he blaze your mom, then tell you to go get him something to drink. Yo, give me something to drink out there. Yo, that's crazy. Like, You like, nigga, go get your own fucking fuck. You tell me we the same age. Yeah, but we the same age, nigga. But I just spanked your mother, nigga. Go give me some iced tea out the refrigerator, nigga. Yo, that's wow. That's crazy.
It is crazy though, right? Mm. When you think about it like that.
Yeah, but I still don't think it's a problem.
Her son is the same age.
So what? They're grown.
Lil Duval had something to say. Look, how Drea got her groove back. A Zeus Network film coming this fall. They just did a screening at South by Southwest. Audience was blown away.
Oh, God.
Well, my friend Tori Hart, Kevin Hart's ex-wife, comedian, she chimed in, and this is what she said.
Y'all know y'all can mind y'all business, right? I mean, listen, I'm not mad at Drea at all. Drea... yeah, okay, everybody in the uproar talking about, oh my God, she old enough to be his mom, oh my God, she, his mom probably watched Basketball Wives, and yeah, his mama did watch Basketball Wives, and you know what, he probably watched it with her, and that's why he went after Drea. He wanted some of that cougar, he wanted some of that cougar snatch, he wanted some of that. Don't get it twisted. Listen, if he wanted to pull out, he would have pulled out. He didn't pull out. That cougar, that cougar had him in a chokehold.
You talk about policing pussy. That's what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. Well, listen. Now, these two nuts right here, I know personally. And you know what? I should put you in a group text right now and tell y'all that y'all both are going to hell. Nick Young and Gilbert Arenas recalled the time that Nick...
Allegedly
caught Drea and Gilbert hooking up. And they did this for everybody to watch. Just watch.
Got the young boy.
Damn. If they only knew. But, like, I was shocked, too, though. Like that day when I was riding home with Philly in the car. Yeah. I don't know if I can tell that story. If you want me to tell that story.
Nah. She's a mother now.
She's a mother now. Yeah, we can't do that. Because that day was that day changed my life. I ain't gonna lie. That day changed my life. That's when Swaggy P was like, okay, now I got it. This is what NBA is about.
Hey, listen, NBA, I'll let you know this is.
Yeah. When I'm riding in a car, he in the back seat. I turn my head, this nigga against
it. Huh? Nah.
What was you doing in that back seat, Gil? Huh? What was you doing in that back seat? We went to the strip club.
Well, I don't know the timeline for that, but Gilbert, was that when you were with Laura Govan and she was on Basketball Wives with Drea? Mm. Really messy. Mm. Well, anyway, Drea was taking all that, no pun intended, and finally broke her silence when Raising Kanan star London Brown chimed in. Now, this is a video of London, this is London chiming in on Drea and Jalen. Look.
22-year-old NBA player had the kid by him, or had him, got the kid by him. Bro, she's passed around goods. So you think you're the guy because you got a pretty woman and she's pregnant. You don't know, you got to the party late. You don't know, she done chopped all of us off. But congratulations on the newborn.
Well, that's kind of low, because ultimately, that's like all of you men who've been around with millions of people. I don't think shaming her because she was a beautiful girl, because she's a beautiful girl. I mean, mm-hmm. She got her nose done, so she looks, I mean, she doesn't look like what she used to look like. She looks better now, but anyway, she's a beautiful girl. So you can't fault her for being a beautiful girl and moving the way some of y'all ninjas do. So we're not going to slut shame a woman, because some of you sluts need to be shamed too. I feel like whatever is good for a man is good for a woman. Mm-hmm. To your point, you're saying if men can date younger, so can women.
Absolutely.
But I'm not saying that it's okay for a Donald Trump to date somebody 40 years younger than him, or because it's just weird. Like, it's weird. I get it, because I'm attracted to younger. But, like, you know, even in our community, we always talk about how, like, when you're older and gay and you're attracted to younger, they try to throw that pedophilia stuff around. So you got to be careful to not even speak about it. But I'd like to date younger, but dating... like, seriously dating somebody I don't get it. But that was nasty what he just said, right?
Yeah, that was low. It was low.
And you're not even attractive to be talking like that. I hate when ugly people, not that you're ugly, you're just. I mean, he's not attractive. Anyway, you're attractive to somebody. Your mom thinks you're cute. Well, Drea heard what you had to say and she clapped back. She went to Hollywood Unlocked and she said this. I have never met this man a day in my life. I don't know why he feels the need to speak about me in a situation where he uses the term us, Brother King. I don't know you. Didn't even know your name was London until till today, right now, this second, as I was asked about this. I've avoided the net altogether and most bitch-ass tendencies I've endured for the past few days. I won't be light on those. Stay blessed. I don't know this man. Who is us? It would have never been you. Well, anyway, Dre, thank you for coming by Hollywood Unlocked. I hope all of my opinion about you today doesn't make you not want to come back by. But, you know, you said what you said. You're also welcome to come on the show if you want, the Jason Lee Show. Well, Jalen remains 10 toes down for his boo, Drea, as fans seemingly caught him with her name on him. I showed you that earlier. Take a look again. This is her name. I don't know that that's 10 toes down. I'm going to just blame Ariella for writing that in the teleprompter because, you know, a tattoo is a tattoo. He can cover that up with anybody else's name. Do you think this is going to last? 39-22.
It could.
Is this the face of forever?
I'm hopeful for them. It could work out. It could work out.
Bye. You're full of shit.
I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How dare you?
We have so much fun here at the show, y'all. But listen, It ain't gonna last. And if it does, I've been wrong once before. All long live the queen. Wendy Williams is in the news. Her ex and the IRS is demanding money. We all know that Wendy Williams has come up missing. And I've told you all that I believe that that Guardian has something to do with it. By the way, before I get into this story, let me talk about the Wendy Williams documentary because I haven't broken it all the way down yet. But I have to tell you, I know Wendy Williams personally. It's a friend of mine, as you all know. Wendy would have never agreed to allow you all to film her feet and to film her with her wig off. Never. I know that for sure. On top of that, if Wendy did agree to do a documentary, it was only to show the comeback after having been taken off of her show and having her money locked up from her because she had that three-part deal with Lifetime to show something. We all know that Lifetime hasn't gotten everything right, okay, in terms of the documentaries that they do first. Remember how they did Aaliyah? That was a horrible experience over there. But I've been watching this, and I have to tell you, I don't know all those characters in there. Her manager, Will, was the guy who was a jeweler who I told you before on Gagging or some time ago that I didn't understand why he was managing her. She used to be managed by a guy named Bernie. Bernie managed Rosie O'Donnell and other very successful talk show hosts, and he knows that game, that space. Bernie was pushed out. People made Wendy believe that Bernie was stealing money from her or doing something. And then all of a sudden, here came the jeweler who became her manager who was putting her podcast together. You all know me and Will had our own back and forth in Rolling Stone when he tried to make an assessment of our relationship and say that I didn't know what I was talking about in a private call with Wendy. And then he later cleaned it up. But I always felt like Will was not good enough to be managing her. And then I saw the documentary. I saw how he was talking to her and screaming at her and being demeaning to her. And I'm telling you right now, I'm friends with Wendy Williams. Of course, I honor her. And I've spent a lot of time with her in her personal space, in her home. She's been in my space. We've shared lots of memories together, lots of phone calls. I would have never disrespected Wendy like that. And then the publicist, as you saw, riding around in L.A. talking about, do you want to go to the Oscars, when Wendy was clearly out of her mind. There's no way a person that cares about you would be asking if you want to go to the Oscars. Wendy loved celebrities from the distance. She don't want to be mixy at the Oscars like that. That's not Wendy's thing. Okay. Remember, it was a big deal when Wendy went to the Kardashians' house when they was trying to piece it up after years of dragging them for filth. Because Wendy's thing was she likes to do her thing and go home. You go, if you're a friend of the show or you know, you're a Wendy Williams fan, you've seen Wendy says, I like to do my job and I like to go home, back to Jersey. She never wanted to be in it like that. And so when I watched the documentary, clearly she's being taken advantage of. And I'm going to tell you right now, the three things that Wendy Williams loved. She loved Kevin Jr. She loved Trav and Alex, her niece and nephew. And she loved her show and the fans. That's it. That was Wendy's whole life. So in watching this documentary, it's clear that she's being taken advantage of. And Sabrina, you know, I'm finding out more about you, girl. I'm looking into you, and I'm going to be putting out more information about you and what I think is happening as we continue to have these conversations, because Where's Wendy was the documentary, but we want to know, where is Wendy? Because the family don't know. They haven't been able to visit her. They can't call her. She can only call them when she wants, if she wants, or however that's structured. They don't have access to their family member. Like, that's, to me, very scary. Mm-hmm. When you saw the documentary, did you see it?
Yeah.
What'd you think about it?
Yeah, it was hard to see her in that state, and for anybody to sit around and say, oh, no, she's fine, she's back to normal, or take her to a studio to do a meeting in the condition she was in, I was like, this is ridiculous. And the only thing I think that I was saying that came out of that documentary was for all of us to see that her family is being kept from her, which is crazy. So hopefully this documentary, you know, in some way, shape, or form, helps them get in touch with Wendy in a more consistent way.
Yeah. Yeah, taking Wendy to walking down Hollywood Boulevard with no security and no, you know, just, you know, letting her drink while she was at lunch on camera. Now the publicist, who I don't even know, you're a stranger, because she never talked about you. You didn't work at the show. You were not in her life for a long time. She never, ever mentioned you, never. Now you're trying to play victim when you're riding around. You were just happy to be riding around Wendy Williams. You were just, all of you people who have no talent, who are pathetic, and who just want to be in the limelight, that don't have any real accolades of your own. You use people like her, like me, like people who have real talent and platforms to get next to them so you can get a little shine. You know, I could look at you and tell that you have low self-esteem, and you're riding around acting like you're Wendy Williams' publicist, trying to take her to the Oscars, girl, and then now you're trying to be victim. No. You know what you did, and you deserve whatever comes to you. They need to sue all of you. All of you people, they need to figure out who's involved with what. Well, now I see that the Guardian is trying to, you know, save face and come forward and act like they're going to file lawsuits against the network. But where were you at? You weren't guarding. You know, you weren't guarding. I think it's all a setup. You took her from her son, from Miami, where she was doing well, walking on the beach, eating healthy, this and that. You put her back in New York, where she was in her apartment, beautiful apartment, by the way, right there by the water with her cats, no husband, no kid, no nothing, all by herself and liquor. You took her show from her, then you took her money from her, and now we're going to talk about what's going on with her financially that you all put her in. So I don't know what guardianship is happening, plus there's questions around, you know, alleged mishandlings between the judge and the guardians, or judge and people that have taken money in exchange for favors. I don't have all those details yet, but we're looking into you, Sabrina. I'm telling you right now, do the right thing, because it's only going to get worse for you. Well, now Wendy's in more financial trouble because her ex and the IRS are demanding money. Just a few weeks ago, we talked about the whole Wendy Williams being locked away at an undisclosed medical facility, banned from her family. Well, we also found out that she's been diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia and aphasia. Well, now her ex-husband is hitting her estate for money. Let's show you a picture of Wendy and her husband during happier times. Now, we all know that Kevin Hunter was the strong arm behind the Wendy Williams brand, and we know for years that they ran the Wendy Williams regime over there at the Wendy Williams show, and that was them during happier times. You know, that's her ex-husband now, because he worked for her as her manager and the show's executive producer, and he was running everything over there. Well, now he's currently demanding 2 years worth of back divorce payments, because remember back in April of 2019, after 22 years of marriage, Wendy went to work and served Kevin with divorce papers because he had went out and got another chick pregnant and had a whole condo and a whole situation over there, and she fired him. Then in 2020, their divorce settlement showed that Kevin agreed to sell Wendy his equal shares in Wendy Williams Productions, Inc., making her the sole owner of the company. And in return, Wendy agreed to give Kevin a lump sum plus a severance package. Amounts were unknown. Well, since 2020 and since that settlement, Kevin is claiming that the severance payment suddenly stopped right before Wendy was placed under guardianship in 2022. And he told the court that he lives off of Wendy's finances, claiming, quote, I rely on the severance pay for my living expenses, and having been without this income for 23 months has affected me greatly. And now he's demanding that the former talk show host immediately pay everything owed. And he said, I respectfully request that the court compel the plaintiff to sign the qualified domestic relations order for the after retirement plan, or in the alternative, appoint me as attorney. Why would she appoint you as anything, Kevin? You went and got a baby by a whole nother woman, disrupted your family, fucked up the show and the bag, and then led us to where we are right now. And if the plaintiff does not sign the contract within 7 days of the court's order, you know, there'll be some type of consequence. Now, he's saying that he wouldn't have to file this motion if the plaintiff did not stop the severance payments. And if the plaintiff would have signed the qualified domestic relations order for that retirement plan. Now, on top of Kevin wanting money, so does the IRS, because they want some money too. Now, Wendy is currently facing a tax lien, leaving her New York condo in jeopardy. Now, in 2021, she bought the place for $4.5 million, and now the federal government is trying to take it to satisfy a $568,000 or so unpaid taxes from 2019 and 2021. And now the Guardian has to address these two issues. I mean, it's almost like if you look at it, they created all these problems, yep. Right? And now Wendy's taking the blow for it.
Yep. It's unfortunate. It's like they were supposed to be appointed to take care of a circumstance that they said was getting out of control when her family was managing it the right way. And now they've just allowed her life to go into turmoil. Like you said, they put her up by herself. She was by her health declined. And now her whole financial situation is declining. Somebody needs to be held responsible in this guardianship.
Yeah. Somebody need to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, clearly somebody was signing, you know, once you start following the paper, whether it's the money or the contracts, you start to see who was involved in what. So what did you sign, Will? What did you agree to? Who was advising Wendy of these papers? And this is what I'm afraid of. With her being locked in this facility, all they got to do is say, Wendy, sign this. Hey, Wendy, this is signed. And if she does have dementia, who's there to make sure she signed the right papers?
Mm-hmm.
And who even knows how much money she has now? Like, to think that you could have built this whole life and then lose it all?
Yep.
This is really crazy. I'm praying that the family finds a way to get more involved in her care and in her life, because to have your life and your whole legacy be ruined like this is really sad. And it's very telling. And one thing that Wendy said in that documentary, she said, if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. And I told y'all last time, and I'm telling y'all right now, Rob, don't you ever let anybody, you know, take advantage of me like that. But you know, that's why I stopped drinking. Just all that. I don't want to drink no more. I'm staying out the way, because the idea of building something and working this hard to build something to lose it all. And we've had conversations in dating the wrong people or bringing the wrong thirsty people around who don't have your best interests at heart. Now I know I'm a whole ass brand on my way to politics. You best believe you can't even come and cut my grass. Wait, I don't have grass, huh?
No, it's AstroTurf.
Well, it's AstroTurf. You can't even come and water my AstroTurf at this point, you know? For real.
Yeah.
Because we just don't trust nobody.
But you know, the scary part is, like, it seems like she had protections in place. She had her family.
From her family.
For her, yeah. And then the court reversed all of that.
How does that happen?
That's why that judge and everybody involved in that guardianship needs to be under a microscope, because something shady happened and it should not have taken place. That don't make any sense.
I smell something fishy. Well, anyway, Wendy, we pray that you're getting the help that I've heard that she sounds good and that she's, you know, looking good, but I need to see her myself. I said to somebody in her family that my fear is one day I'm going to hear Wendy Williams found dead. Like, I really just feel like, because like after last time we saw each other was the photo with me and her at Cardi's thing. We'll put that photo right here. That was the last time I saw Wendy. I don't know what she looks like, how she sounds, how she's functioning since then. And as you saw the photo, she looked great. And everybody, when I put it on Instagram, they go, oh my God, she looked great then. How you go from that to what we're seeing on TV? Now, I know Wendy privately, and I know her battle with alcohol. When people were saying she was on cocaine, they said it was never that, it was alcohol. She drank like a sailor, you know, and then there were no breaks. And I think that, yes, do you need some support? Yeah, but we saw it when she was in Miami. We saw it when she was with her son. I know how much she loves her son. If you watch the documentary, watch how she gets emotional every time he comes around, because she really does love him. And I've had a mother who struggled with her own addiction, so I know what that looks like. I know how frustrating that could be, wanting to help your mom and her not wanting to help, but this is not right. Like, this is, and the sad part is she don't have nobody who's strong enough to really fight for her. And the fans are telling me I need to do something, but I don't know what to do. You know, I'm just a friend who's out here with a platform. I'm going to keep sharing the story. But I'll look into what more I could do. I don't know what else to do, but Wendy, we are sending you our prayers and we wish you the best. Bye. All right. That's the end of the show. Let's just get out of here. It's time for thoughts and prayers. Remember when Aaliyah said age ain't nothing but a number? Well, a lot of y'all took that saying and ran with it, like Drea. And Jalen, well, whether you see a problem with their age gap or not, the couple clearly isn't letting the comments control or delete their relationship, like Drea claimed it did when it was deleting her wholeness. We ain't forgot that either, Drea. Well, listen, criticism aside, there is now a child involved, and we wish the couple a happy and healthy pregnancy and delivery. And not the kind of delivery that Madonna gave to her disabled fan. Now, we stand you, queen, but telling a wheelchair-bound person to stand up is just crazy work. The queen of pop is kind of shady. In all seriousness, she likely really didn't realize and just wanted to get the crowd going, but it almost did the exact opposite and would have had them going for the door. But it is the queen of pop, so we're going to give her a grace, and not the kind of grace that Bishop Whitehead deserves, because what kind of bishop is out here scamming his parishioners? I mean, some of y'all do have pastors that ride around in Bentleys and Rolls Royces in your community. But hey, let's just say that that is what it is, because sending that collection plate around every Sunday doesn't mean that you're getting money to go put in your stuff, but to steal the entire retirement savings and promise to buy them a house, that's kind of shady. Those prison doors are about to close on that ass. Now, he wanted a big house, and now he's headed to the big house. Now, meanwhile, Bad Bitty rapper JP made it clear that he's not gay. He just felt like dipping a pinky toe in the pool. Whatever makes him happy. And elsewhere, Kevin Hunter continues to leech off of Wendy despite her current health condition. Now, we just want our media queen healthy, happy, and free of all negativity. And in the church of real Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints, and not one led by the bishop. Can we all just say amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's it. This has been a lot. Listen, thank you for coming back. Marina will be here next time, and Rob will or will not have a mustache. make sure you stay tuned into everything. Follow us everywhere. Hollywood Unlocked, the Jason Lee Show. We have some exciting new episodes coming up. We just had D.L. Hughley on the show, and we had New York Pollard and DDG.
And Amber Rose.
Oh, yeah, and Amber. Oh. If y'all missed the Amber Rose episode, you have to see what she just talked to us about the whole fight with Jocelyn and a lot more. Let me just show you that clip right here. Take a look. So you and China are good. Are you and Jocelyn good?
Jocelyn Hernandez?
Yeah.
No.
Because we recently had New York here. Tiffany Pollard was here. You all watched the show. Mm-hmm. You were on College Hill with her. Y'all didn't graduate college. You were supposed to go back and get your degree. You got expelled.
Yes, me and Jocelyn got expelled.
You're in the class. You're doing something. New York has already told the story.
Obviously, you know, with reality TV, there's a lot of editing that happens. And so we were all getting bullied for 3 weeks by Jocelyn.
The whole class.
Everybody was getting bullied by Jocelyn. So this is what happened. We read a poem from Langston Hughes about different hues of black women, right? Beautiful poem. And Jocelyn screams out in the classroom, not like them dirty, ugly white people. Not like them white girls. They're fucking ugly as hell. Right? Again, I don't identify as a white woman. I don't give a fuck what this weirdo is screaming out in the classroom. She's obnoxious. But the people in the classroom kind of turned to me like, because I'm the only biracial there. So they turned to me and I'm like, I don't give a fuck what this bitch is saying. And then she turns around and she's like, oh, but you know, Amber, but you're black. Right? So I'm like, again, yes, but I'm biracial, so I do have a white parent as well. So we get in that argument because she acts like she's stupid, like she doesn't know that you can be two things at one time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that happens, and then she's like, you know what your fucking problem is? You just want to be white. And you know, for a biracial, you call somebody white, is that you got to throw hands after
that. Well, because we've been hearing it our whole life.
It's just annoying.
And we know it's impossible.
Right.
Because we know who we are.
Right.
And now we know you're refusing to accept who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're doing it in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And now here we are.
You know what I'm saying?
Bitch, you're going to catch it for every bitch that tried me my whole life.
Period.
I get it.
And then I had to hit her with an 8-piece.
And
I hit her with an 8-piece. And what happened was, is that, and here's the gag, because I saw this online, like, oh, Amber snuck her because she was sitting down. It's like, no, girl, you underestimated me and you didn't get your ass up out the chair because you thought I was going to walk past you and go outside.
She thought you were going to be Amber Rose with Kanye walking around with glasses on and nothing to say.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you should have stood your ass up, but you didn't. And so when I hit you with the eight piece, she had to go like this. So what happened was I'm fighting and she... somewhere when I'm fighting, I was dressed like Eminem that day because it was Halloween. Mm-hmm. My big ass shirt kind of went over my head. So when she's like this, she got up like this and pushed me and I fell back and I hit my head on a window.
That's what New York said happened. So it was your head.
It was my head.
Okay.
So when she pushed me off of her, because I was like, I was going ham on her. She had to push me off of her and I fell back. I couldn't see. My jacket was over my face. She pushed me back. I came back. Wah, 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 wah. And then Iman reenacts the whole thing. He's hilarious. But that's the only thing she did do. She pushed me and my head hit the thing. But then,
and when you're throwing the hands, they're all connecting?
They're all connecting. She was lumped the fuck up. Her whole face was lumped up.
Not the Puerto Rican princess. All right, make sure you're following us everywhere and we'll be back next week. Till then, we're out of here. Peace.
Jason Lee Podcast.